Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. All Philly season. Larry Anderson joins us at 3 o'clock on Wednesdays. Hopefully, this is not the last Wednesday of the Philly season. L.A., thank you for joining us.
Certainly.
Well, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Well, all right. Is there any reason, L.A., that for us to believe that the Phillies can turn this around, win this game tonight, and get it back to Philadelphia?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it can happen. It's anything's possible. Is it likely? I don't know.
Well, likely.
That's a little different than possible.
Yeah, likely, I think, is pushing it, even for the most optimistic, you know, of us. The good news is, we were talking about the Red Series that the Dodgers had earlier. The good news is, the series does not look like that series. It doesn't look like these two teams are on two different planes of talent or in two different leagues. That is the optimistic part, I would say, if you're looking for a reason. What would you say, if I were to ask you, what is the biggest reason that the Phillies are down 2-0, what would you say?
The big boys.
Yeah.
The top of the lineup, the I don't know, top three at least.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, it's just, they're just not getting it done. That's plain and simple. I mean, you get pitches, you get pitches that can hit and you don't hit them, and you chase pitches that you can't hit. And it's just, I mean, I don't know. I might have said it during the year, but maybe not publicly. But I just think, I mean, we've got a team with a lot of power. I think a lot of, you know, a chance to score a lot of runs in a short time. But I just, if you go over the course of the year, I don't know how many games we hit well against good pitching.
Yeah.
I don't think we did a whole lot of that, and I don't think there's a ton of great pitching in the league to start with in Major League Baseball, period. But there are a few, and the Dodgers happen to have a handful of them. And they didn't have them all year, but you know it's worked out great for them because they're all fresh. I mean, Snell's already up to like almost 80 innings, probably 85 maybe. And he's just been lights out. I mean, I can't, you know, totally fault the hitters because the pitching that we're facing has just been really good. But I look back at last night. I look at the home run that Aaron Judge hit on a fastball up and in. It's like nobody hits that, and he hits it out. I mean, that was a huge home run. We haven't had that. We haven't had that for a while. So. I think we came into it. I don't think we came into it swinging the bats well. You know, prior to the last 10 games of the season, I thought we were crushing the ball. I'm like, there's no stopping us. But all of a sudden, we got with 10 games left to go or 8 games left to go, whatever it was, we just all of a sudden, it's like, where'd all the bats go? And then I was a little more concerned going into the season, especially facing that Dodger staff. I was optimistic, but I wasn't, you know, again, I didn't think we were going to, you know, tear up the Dodgers starting staff anyway. The bullpen, I thought we had a chance, but then they got a completely different bullpen than we saw, you know, when we were out in L.A. And Trinan kind of carried that in, and we got to him, but... Then just, you know, we couldn't get the big hit. And again, we, you know, the situation the last 10 games with men in scoring position. I don't know if we hit, 100. Serious. And that's, you know, kind of leads you to just be a little skeptical of, or I don't want to say pessimistic, but a little concerned, I guess. And it kind of came true. We couldn't get a big hit. But there's still a chance, and we can still get a big hit out there. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility of winning two games in L.A., even with their staff. I think we can do it. It just, the big guys have to do a little something.
Well, to your point about the Judge home run, it does feel like that one moment could change the complexion of the series. Baseball's funny that way, right? I mean, yeah. One moment. Let me ask you about, put Trey to the side for a second, because if we wanted to come up for an excuse with him, we could. He didn't play the last 2 weeks of the season. They were right off for a week. Let's just put him to the side. Schwarber has looked pretty helpless up there, and this is prior to the playoffs, too. We saw Schwarber in 24, who wasn't always trying to hit home runs. You know, he was grinding some at-bats. He was taking singles when they were there. Do you think perhaps this season he got on such a hot streak hitting home runs that he maybe lost the feel for that other thing that he was able to do, and now it just seems impossible for him to find it?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the last, prior to this year, he'd hit, 40 home runs, 45, whatever it is. And I always felt like you should have 3 RBI for every home run you hit. I mean, for a good hitter. That's the way I looked at it, a guy that produces. And he would have 45 home runs and 94 RBI. It's like he was nowhere near averaging 3 RBI per home run. And then to look at him this year, where I thought for 5 months he was hitting singles, he was driving runs in without home runs. You know, I mean, obviously he hit a lot of home runs, and the most home runs he's ever hit, but he was also getting a lot of RBIs. And then you look at him, 50 home runs and 132 RBIs. It's a lot better than his production had been in his previous years. So I thought, I mean, that to me showed me that he's not looking to hit home runs every time. He's getting a good swing. He was confident. He was hitting the ball the other way, hitting the ball up the middle, along with some home runs. You know, they did run into a lot of home runs. But then all of a sudden it just, I don't know if to your point, if he's was he getting so many home runs. Somebody asked me, you think it was because he was, you know, trying to get 60 or trying to beat Howard's record? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not in his head. I just, whatever it is, he's just not, it's not like he's trying to get a single. I think, right, I've never seen a guy go from hitting, you know, 50 whatever home runs, 56, 57 home runs, to looking so lost at the plate right now. I mean, how many, and this goes back to before the playoffs, he was having a fair number of bats where he check swing on pitches.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot. And it's like, and sometimes he would make contact on it accidentally and hit a little dribbler or something. I never saw that from him before. And that just, it makes me look at it and like, look at him just like he just seems confused up there, baffled, and not necessarily from the pitchers, what they're throwing, but just he's like, he's uncertain. Should he swing? Should he not? And he's like in between. And I've never seen that from him. And I think that's probably, it's frustration, confusion, trying to figure out what am I doing? At the same time, you can't put it all on him. I mean, everybody's got to do their part.
Yep.
I think Trey or one of them said, we got nothing to lose. Maybe they'll relax more and maybe go out there and just say, you know what the heck, let's just go have fun. Let's play our game. And I think that's a big part of what this team has done all year is just, they could go on a losing streak, but just come on, you know what, let's get it back together, guys. Let's go out. And then they would just have fun and just battle. And, you know, maybe they can do that, you know, turn things around. It's not going to be easy, but they can certainly do it. I don't think there's any question about it. And we win 3 in a row. It's obviously no easy task. Two in a row is easier, but again, you're playing out there and you're facing Yamamoto now, who's had a great year. And I guess, I don't know if they've mentioned it or stated, I think they're going with Glasnow tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's Glasnow tomorrow.
I think they have a better chance against him as a right-hander. Yeah, you know, and he's still a really good pitcher. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I think his stuff we have a better chance at. Yamamoto, I'm just not sure. I haven't seen him for a long time, and but you know, he can get hit. If he's 12-8, there's got to be a reason he's lost 8 games, or I think that's what he is. Maybe I'm off on that, but whatever it is, it's, you know, he's not been perfect all year. So, I mean, there is hope. I'm hopeful. I mean, I really want to see him do it. But it's going to be a battle, and they're going to have to battle and not chase. You know, if there's splits coming at the knees and it's dropping out of the zone, they're going to have to let him go. They have to go up there with some kind of game plan, whether it's, I'm going to look for a pitch in this area, and if I get it, I'm going after it. And if it's not there, I got to take it until there's 2 strikes. And I think that's one of the things. I think it's just their approach is, I don't know if they've had an approach going up there.
Your strategy for Aaron Nola tonight has not been a good season. We've obviously watched him this year. Right. Had a nice ending to the season, albeit against inferior competition with the Twins. Looked good in the inter-squad game. But what do you think about Nola tonight, and how long of a leash do you think Topper is going to have on him before he goes to a Ranger?
I don't think it'll be a long leash at all. I don't think you can. But if he's out there, and if he can go out, and I know back to the same old thing from L.A., if he can go out there and command his fastball down in the zone, I think that's all the difference in the world. If he makes pitches that are even on the edges, but they're belt high, like Hernandez got, or the outer third, and it's belt high, they're going to hit him. They will. And that's just a fact. Mm-hmm. If he's down in his zone, he's got a much better chance. And I'm, you know, if he's got his stuff, if he feels good, you know, he can shut teams down. But for how long, I don't know. You'd like to say he can go 5 or 6 innings shutting them down. I don't know if he can, but it doesn't matter what I think. It's what he thinks. Can he think? As long as he thinks he can go out there and do it, he's got a chance. If he's out there going, I hope I do all right, that's going to be a long day for him. But he's got to go out there with the confidence and the mindset of, I'm going to shut him down, and I'm going to make my pitches, and we're going to win this game. And that's obviously the mindset he has to have going out. I mean, he can do it. There's no doubt. Yeah. But it's been a tough go for him this year. But yeah. It can be done.
We haven't seen Ranger in a little bit, and reports are he may be a little banged up. What's your thoughts on Ranger coming in sort of a relief role versus getting the nod to start the game tonight? What'd you think about that sort of decision?
I was a little surprised. I think the Dodgers are better against right-handed pitching. So for me, I thought all along it was for Ranger was going to be the 3 lefties starting the games, which makes me think that maybe he's not feeling 100%. But if he is, then I'm fully confident Ranger's going out there and make some pitches. And if he's pitching like he can shut him down big time. He's come in out of the pen before in this situation, maybe not expecting to go 4 or 5 innings when he's done it before, but that could be the case, you know, tonight. But if he's feeling good and he's making his pitches, he can dazzle anybody. So I know there's been a lot of talk. Is he healthy? Does he feel good? I don't know. I really don't. I mean, only honestly, I mean, Rob Thompson doesn't even know. Only Ranger knows for sure. But if he says he's 100% and feels good to go and very confident, then he can go shut anybody down.
LA, we heard we heard you on the broadcast say that you wouldn't have bunted when Stott bunted. Can you just explain specifically why you would have chosen? And you know, you look at the numbers and they're actually pretty close. I mean, letting Stott swing away is a little bit better. What was your thinking instead of having him bunt and letting him swing away there?
Outside of Marchand, we had the slowest runner on the team at second base.
Yep.
And I know, like Rob said, that they, you know, they did, that Betts was very good at disguising the wheel play. But But Freeman and Muncy weren't very good at disguising it because they were standing 45 feet away from home plate.
Right.
I mean, if the wheel play is not on, there's no possible way that the third baseman can play, come in and play where Muncy was playing. You can't, because you have to be able, from where he was at, if they didn't have the wheel play on and Freeman comes in or the pitcher comes in and makes that play, there's nobody at third base because there's no way Muncy gets back there. So to me, when Rob says, well, Mookie Betts disguised the wheel play really well, and he did, you know, because he's so fast, so much faster than Cassie. He can wait. He can let Cassie get a head start right. And still beat him to third. But you know the wheel play's on because Muncy's playing 45 feet away. He's halfway to home plate to start with. There's no way that the wheel play is not on if they're going to try and get the lead runner. And when you got a slow runner at second base, that's when you use the wheel play. I'm more concerned like Rob says, well, if they see the wheel plays on, then they've got the green light. If you see Muncy standing halfway to the plate, you know that they're banking 100% on him bunting, and they're going to get that lead runner. You know that. So why not take the bunt off?
Well, I think the thing that it shows is one thing that you could never accuse the Phillies of being is a sound fundamental baseball team.
No,
all the talent in the world, but that I think when we're watching it, the frustrating thing is you sort of feel like the Phillies think they can out-talent you, and that's why they're not good at fundamentals. But then you look at the Dodgers, who are maybe the most talented baseball team I've ever seen. And they're good at it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So now I could, you know, you could look at Teoscar Hernandez in right field. He's not always great. But overall, the Phillies, the reason I said let them swing away is I would just have no faith that they would execute a sacrifice bunt correctly. And I would have more faith that Bryson Stott hits a single, to be honest with you.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it was a good bunt.
Yeah. Yep.
If Muncy's not standing 45 feet away or maybe 30 feet away when he gets the bunt.
Yep.
And then it was, I mean, how far was cast out? By 10 feet, maybe?
Oh, yeah. The only way that he's safe is if Betts ends up dropping that ball or they throw the ball away. I mean, that was...
And the thing is, if Freeman's in just as far in as Muncy is, so you got the two corners in 30 feet in from third and first base. Mookie's running to third to cover third, and Edmund's going to second. So if you look at that, you got a third baseman and a shortstop both on the line, basically, and a first baseman and second baseman both on the line. That leaves the whole field completely wide open. He could hit a dribbler anywhere but right back at the pitcher, and he's got a base hit. Not just get the run in or getting the runner to third, but he's got a base hit. And that's what just, to me, when you see those corner infielders in that far, you have to know the wheel plays on.
Yeah.
And especially after the first pitch, it like take the bunt off. And then, and I don't know if I said it on the air or if it was in, you know, after the first pitch or, you know, I don't know when I said it, but I know I said to the, at least to the guys in the booth, I said, I don't care if he has to choke up to the label. He's got to go up there and just put the bat on the ball, put the ball on the ground anywhere. And we got first and third at least. And nobody out.
Well, LA, you know, as a fan, you can talk yourself into anything, but I think there is truth to saying if you win the game tonight, all of a sudden you have Sanchez tomorrow, and then you have a game five at home. And I know a little bit of it is coping and talking yourself into it, but a little bit of it is true, too. A 2-1 lead is not as insurmountable as a 2-0 lead sounds, and they can win that game tonight. I think they can get this series back to Philly.
Agree. And yeah. I think, I mean, the confidence that the Yankees have right now after winning that game and being in New York, I mean, they're and not that the Phils obviously aren't in New York, they're in LA, but I think that the confidence and the motivation for the Yankees got completely turned around last night with that 3-run home run and winning that game. They eight unanswered runs. They're like, hey, we can do this.
Well, and I think as well, the Yankees have a thing that their guy did it. You know, there was a moment from their guy. And if there was a moment from Schwarber or Bryce, I think that can turn things around too. When the guys that you depend on for the biggest moments, when they have one of those moments, I think it can make everybody else feel a little more confident too.
Yeah. And they have to look at it like, guys, we had a good chance to be 2-0. Going to LA.
Yep.
And they didn't. So the fact that they had the chance, that's got to make them at least feel like, hey, let's get one and we can put a little pressure on them and maybe they'll make some mistakes. You know? And that's the way I guess you got to look at it. I mean, there's no other way.
Nope. No, it's the only choice we have, man. It's the only choice we have. All right, LA. Well, fingers crossed we get one tonight. We're going to have to 9:08 first pitch. 49-year-old Spike does not love a 9:08 first pitch, but let's hope we get this one, and then we get back at it with Sanchez tomorrow. Appreciate you as always.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.
All right, LA.
Yeah, a big moment. I think if there is doubt in the Phillies right now, which there has to be some, as confident as they may be tonight, there has to be some. If they can get a big moment tonight, which is why the bottom of the ninth would have been so big,
sure,
is I think it would have swung the belief system a little bit.
I need like a two out runners on second and third type of hit. Not even a home run, but something that can be like with two outs, you feel like maybe your back's against the wall a little bit, hit one and break it open a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yamamoto's been really good.
Yeah, whatever.
0.66 ERA his last
it's tough.
Like 40 innings.
He's due.
I hope so.
Yeah.
CC situation? Come on, man.
Yeah, he's due.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, work account, get him out of there by the fifth, and then let's go. Let's go. All right, 215-592-9494. Now, it's been a big sports week in Philly, mostly horrible. But Eagles going, Philly's going, and starting tomorrow, the Flyers are going. So we have Flyers and 50 with Broads coming up next. Preview tomorrow's game and the big Flyers season that is coming up next. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Oh, I'm still alive.
This Creed.
Pearl Jam.
No.
Come on, Stubbsy. I need this with the boys after the game. Everyone's singing it.
That is not a Stubbs song.
Dude, I don't care if it's not a Stubbs song. I've had this vision for like 2 days. It's the only thing that can save the season is everyone in the clubhouse singing alive after a win tonight. That brings everyone together.
We got to tell the Armentani brothers to get it to Stubbs. I'll send a text, see if we can get it done.
It would work. I'm convinced it would work.
How many of the guys in that clubhouse know that song?
Once everyone starts singing live, like, oh, you saw scream, I'm still alive.
Then they'll do it.
Then they'll do it. No one knows what Eddie Vedder's saying anyway, besides alive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's
even
all they
me at that point. That's all I really heard was alive.
Yeah. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Twitter question. There you go. Oh, oh. And the reason, you know, that so Scott Stapp, Creed happened after Pearl Jam.
Ah.
But there were many, many singers influenced after Pearl Jam.
He was the first one who made the, it was, you can understand what he's saying. But they,
yeah, the first guy to sing like that. I think so.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, I can't think of another one. Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's wants to wish our team good luck, which they need this October. They experience a difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Do you believe the Phillies still have a chance to win this series? 66.4% say no. So as one season is coming to perhaps its conclusion, another season is beginning, and that is the Flyers. And for that, we bring in Broads for Flyers in 50. Broads, how are you feeling, brother?
You thought I wasn't going to be here this week, huh? You wrote me off last week and said, we don't need you on Wednesday. Shame on you.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. You're all gooned up again.
Well, come on, man. I'm always gooned up. I'm thinking about Madman Mitchkoff, baby.
Man, why are you rubbing your stick?
Yeah, you're rubbing it.
Why are you rubbing your stick? It was whacking that thing.
I always rub my stick.
Cut that, Jack. So, So we are looking at Broads right now at his home studio, and Broads is in his helmet with the plastic face guard. He's got his...
We like to call this a bubble, Spike. This is a bubble.
Oh, it's a bubble. Is that what they call it? A bubble with the lettuce coming out in the back there? He's got
you're on it.
He's got the orange Flyers jersey on, the CCM gloves. He's got the stick all taped up. He's ready. You got the you got a cup on?
Well, I just had to buy one for my men's league because I rocked maybe the first 2 weeks without it. And I said, I know I got my two out of the way here, but just in case we pop out a third one day, you know, pour a little Bryce Harper here on you. I don't want to get too into detail, but
yeah.
I had to make sure I protected the jewel. So when I play with my stick, we're okay.
All right.
You go to the small section? Got him.
I don't. You guys don't need the details.
Okay.
It worked.
Well, he didn't deny it. Well,
the
Flyers start tomorrow. Jack, hit his music.
Flyers in 50 with Broads.
There's no better way to start the year than going to Hockey Town, Florida, baby. You get a chance to see the back-to-back Stanley Cup champs. Wow! Here we go! Number 46, Trevor Zegras puts on the orange sweater for the first time, proving to Tocket he could be a C. He could play center, win faceoffs, play fantastic in the D zone, stick on puck, body positioning, helping out support the puck. Yes! Let's go, Zegras! Can Mitchkoff give us a point per game? He had 26 bingo last year. Let's get 30. Let's get 35. Oh! And the Forster line. Oh, the young kids. Bobby Brink, Noah Cage, Forster. Let's see what you learn from Crosby on Team Canada. Let's go, Flyers!
Now, you mentioned him playing in the D zone. Do you think, should he touch his stick when that's happening, or do you avoid the stick when you're in the D zone?
It's a case-by-case study.
Well, you know, you're starting off against back-to-back Stanley Cup champs. You know, to be the best, you got to beat the best, as the legend Ric Flair once said. So might as well start off against a good team. And the NHL season only goes, what, 7-8 years long each season. So this is the beginning of a marathon, not a sprint, right, Broads?
That's right. Now, did you consume any puck last night? You had Avalanche, Kings. You had Rangers, Penguins. You had Florida, Chicago, Blackhawks. I mean, what'd you go with last night?
Bro, this is what I would say to you. With all that hockey on last night, I did a podcast about the Sixers who haven't played since April. Yeah. That was the choice that I made.
And I was catching up on my episodes of MasterChef.
Yeah. But maybe tonight...
What the hell's the matter with you?
Well,
two?
Actually, I could watch the Flyers tonight because they start, what, 7? Something like that? Is that when they drop the puck?
When's the first real
Oh, tomorrow.
Game?
Oh, yeah, it's tomorrow. Oh, yeah, well, I can't watch it tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, we're busy.
What?
Well, we're going to have the Phillies on, and then we're going to have the Eagles.
Are you going to have me on Friday to break down the first game?
Ooh.
No shot.
No.
Wow, it's not a football Friday.
It is. The Eagles play Thursday.
It is.
Oh, yeah. We'll what are you crazy? Thursday, dude.
Yeah, and we'll be getting ready for Saturday at the bank. Yeah, we're not going to have time for it.
I tried, bro. You see, they jumped on me quick right there.
Here's what we do. This is my challenge to you, Broads. If I were to give you flyers in five on Friday, could you do it in 5 seconds?
I think so.
All right. As long as you got your hand on your stick, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I throw something? I do have some honest critiquing I got to do from what I saw in practice today from Tockett. Do you
okay.
mind?
Yeah. Oh, you went to practice?
Wow.
No. I'm reading what the beats are saying.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't want to accuse you of being that informed. Okay. Yeah. Well, what is your honest thoughts there?
I mean, what are we doing putting Dvorak on the first line playing left wing with Kutsi and Michkov? We can't be starting the year off with Dvorak.
Shut his hole!
He's a bottom six forward. All right. Log it in. Ice time with the top dogs.
What was his name?
Dvorak. Is that a real guy?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, dude, he's making like six. They overpaid out the ass for this guy. He's bottom six guys get like $6 million.
Is Andrew Ellis playing this year?
Who the hell is Andrew Ellis? Hold on, I got to play for you on my Broads board before we get out of here. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for Rod, of course.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so what we're looking at now is, this is for the non-YouTube view listeners, is that Broads now has a whiteboard every time, and he designs a play. So what I'm looking at is a whiteboard with the goal at the bottom, yeah, right? We have a guy behind the goal.
What's a goal on each end?
Yeah, a goal on each end. Now, is this an offensive play, right? Is that what you're going to design, or is this defense?
It starts in the D zone, but it goes through the neutral zone with a very strong purpose. I'll walk you through it. I'll be very descriptive.
Okay.
For the
All right.
Audience.
Go ahead.
I'll walk you here. All right. So in our D zone, we have our guy who is in the corner winning a puck battle, mucking and grinding, as they say. Okay. But when you use your body, physical play, you can kick it to the guy behind the net. Okay. So now you're ready for a breakout pass. The D man behind the net is going to hit crisp pass. Must be tape to tape. He's going to hit the winger. Winger is going to see the D man pinch. He's going to use the glass to put it right by the red line. This is when you're center support will take the puck, go wide. I want you to go wide. Third winger will start driving the net with a purpose. As you cut as you join the rush here, you cut the middle, you take a shot far pad, must be far pad. The puck will sit right in the slot for a nice little, how do you do, rebound that hits twine, and the Flyers are up 1-0.
Wait, Broads, at what point in that play do they dump and chase?
Well, I don't do the dump and chase.
All right,
I'm not any of these old cats. I want to enter the zone with a purpose. Entered the zone with a purpose.
Do you have an official?
Sounds like Tommy Down the Shore a little bit.
Yes, yeah. But he is naturally Tommy Down the Shore. Not as if Tommy is not natural. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, it would never be a bit.
No. So I think we need your official season prediction, Broads.
Oh, yeah,
what happens to the Flyboys? How many points?
Do we make the playoffs?
Do we
or
make
not?
The playoffs? What's going to happen?
No playoffs.
Oh,
no playoffs.
Damn.
What is year eight of Jonesy? I mean, come on.
With their line, they have two NHL defensemen literally playing today or tomorrow.
Okay.
They got two. I mean, you can't survive like that. Drysdale and Santa. We got Nick Seeler. He's a goon. He's playing first line on the D pair. What are we doing? So I'm all hype. I'm all giddy. But when I get to my critiquing and my real pure analysis, there is some crap on this roster. Let's go, Flyers!
I'll say this, Broads. If they don't make the playoffs this year, Jonesy may have to be the 27th person on the WIP morning show right now.
Wow.
I don't know if they have room. If we might have to get another mic and another chair, but I don't know. You got to make the playoffs. They got to make the playoffs.
Yep.
You got to tell Jonesy that. I'm just here, the one that has the orange rally towel screaming my head off. I don't make the decisions.
Well, we need a big move made at the trade deadline to get us over the hump.
Yes.
Good luck, Ike. Stick with your chef's best chef show.
Okay.
Go back to watching your chef shows because we ain't close.
Master Chef, yes. Gordon Ramsay.
Broads, when are you back here on WIP?
You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Tonight, baby.
Oh, after the fills?
Ball in the field. So you better hope they win or else I'm going to be saying words that I got to drop off the air.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I think you're going to be saying this after they win tonight.
I always rub my stick.
Wow, Broads either doing the official eulogy of the 2025 Philadelphia Phillies, or you will be fielding calls of people who believe. So you can listen to Broads tonight after the Phils. You follow him on Twitter at Broads81. Broads, thank you as always.
See you, fellas.
There he is.
Broads.
That was a great performance from Broads. Look, when he has actual content, he's got Flyers to talk about. Yeah. The guy is...
That was 10 minutes long.
Yeah. Well, I said... Oh, yeah.
It's a game day.
Yeah, it was 10 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494. Not only is Red October in Philly, it is Red October at Colonial Hyundai. The Red October sales event. What does that mean? Well, their Red October is going all the way through October 31st. It means every vehicle on the lot is red tagged. Every single one. This means you can drive home with your choice of a brand new Hyundai Palisade, a Santa Fe, the award-winning Tucson for $199 a month only at Colonial. I need you to not worry about your trade because they give the best trade-in values in the business, guaranteeing the bottom, the very least they're going to give you guaranteed is $6,500 for that trade, no matter what condition it's in. You know, every Hyundai at Colonial, getting you America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Get in there. The final pitch of the season. Colonial Hyundai in Downingtown or online at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. In-stock vehicles only. Lease tier one credit through HMF. 10,000 miles a year. 10% down. Plus first payment, tax, tags, and fees. See dealer for full details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yoshi in Brewery Town. You're on WIP. What's up, Yoshi?
My man Spike, Big Ike, Jackie, baby. Happy gang, yay. What's poppin', fellas?
Yoshi. What's up, brother?
Hey, man, what's that? I woke up feeling like a winner this morning. One of my guys, he drank so much last night, he came in this morning feeling like a winner. He told me a whole story about us winning the game. Until I told him, bro, we played a night. It was so funny. I hit Jack up, what's name, before the sun came up, just to tell him this story. So that means we win it. I feel like a winner. He thought we won. So we winning tonight, man. We took that series, what's name, last month out in L.A., big city of dreams, where everything and what is seen. We took the series last month there, man. We about to take it back tonight, and we going to position ourselves for tomorrow. I mean, we got this, man. If we could channel like that 0-18 that 2017 daggone Eagles team. What's the name? We can get this thing. We're going to win this thing tonight. We're going to win it tomorrow and bring it back home where it's supposed to be. This is an underdog city.
Yeah.
It's an underdog city, man. What's the name? One of the greatest stories ever told, won an Oscar, is built off the underdog. Where that's at? In Philly. Topper got to get back on his game tonight. That's what got to happen. He got to get back on his game. Bryce got to bring that MVP status tonight. Yeah. What's the name? Schwarber got the what's the name play like he want them to really back the daggone truck up. That's what they got to do tonight. Spike said, we're in position. We're in position to take this because we the underdog. The Twitter poll is making us the underdog. Spike said it. We thrive when we're in this position, baby. We taking this thing back tonight. It's going to be 1-2. Then it's going to be 2-2. And then we're saying, like I told Jack, I'll be worried come the game when they get back here, baby. What's the name? So let's get ready. And Spike, I got to go home and take one of them old man naps like you really going to bed because I got to pull a double. I got the night and tomorrow night. God almighty.
Love it.
I love that. Man. I love that. Hey, the guy at your job drank so much he saw the future. That is what he did.
I told Jack, I was like, I'm calling him Negro Domus. I'm calling him Negro Domus. He's seeing the future, baby.
Yeah, I think we can get away with that one.
Well,
I think that's solid.
Wait a minute. Who,
I said it the right way.
I think that was right a solid way. One. Yes, that was solid.
And also, wait a minute. Our announcer said that. It works for the Hawks now.
Negro Domus?
Yeah, was it?
Malik Rose?
Malik Rose said
Oh, yeah.
It. Yes.
Oh, yeah. He was the old school Chevy.
Yeah, yeah.
Negro Domus?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. All those. He had all the sayings.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved Malik when he was great. When he was the color guy.
He was great.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah.
Color guy.
Yeah, wait, yeah, I kind of messed it up at the end when
you said
that.
I know. We're playing with, playing with fire here. Yeah.
Hey, we're walking the line at the end. My dad might get kind of mad at you here. You said that. He's a fan now. You know I talk to you and everything.
All right, Yosh.
Love y'all, cats. Go Flames, baby.
All right, Yosh.
Let's go win that game. Let's go win this game. Yes, sir.
There's a prevailing feeling out there amongst social media world, in the Philadelphia social media world.
Oh, no.
Well, Bryce is shrinking in the moment here.
Well, he is.
Well, I'm just saying, we need him to step up in the moment tonight. He can't be part of the reason they don't win tonight.
He can't.
Listen, he can only do what he can do, but in his at-bats, with his opportunities, he has to come through tonight.
Because forget about me, put me away, right? Mm-hmm. I'll get on Bryce even when they're winning, is playing well.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. For everybody else, if they lose tonight and he comes up small, I am telling you, it is going to shift on him.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
It already is.
It is. Because with the success he gets credit for, maybe too much credit for success. Mm-hmm. And so he will deal. He is like the quarterback of the Philadelphia Phillies. He will get too much success, too much praise when they win.
Yeah.
He will get blame when they lose. But if they lose tonight and he throws in an 0-for-3 with a walk or something like that, he is going to hear it. And look, I think everybody loves him. I think everybody wants to believe in him. But there will be large seeds of doubt about who Bryce Harper is.
Yeah, I think that certainly happens. But the thing I actually can appreciate with Bryce, it's the same thing I've come to appreciate with Jalen. He has the ability to block out the noise.
He does.
He has the ability to block it out. In other words, he's not about to be lashing back out at fans and doing that whole thing. You know, listening to Jalen yesterday speak, versus what's been going on around him. Like, say what you want to say, but that's a maturity right there. Whether it's believable or not, that's seeing the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And to give him credit, I don't know if he does this a year or two ago. I don't know if he does this before he actually wins the Super Bowl.
Oh, the way that he handled
that.
He handled that perfectly.
Yes, the way that he's handling this whole thing and listening to him speak yesterday. And even though the Phillies haven't won, I think Bryce, he hears it, but he has the ability not to let it impact him and react to it.
I think the thing about Bryce is...
It motivates him, I believe.
I think so. I don't think he shrinks in any moment. So when he is... Here is maybe the worry a little bit, is that if Bryce isn't coming through, I think the bigger concern... I don't know what the conversation is. For me, the bigger concern is who is Bryce now as
right.
a player?
Is he not the player? Yeah.
Yeah, because of all the injuries, because of the age, is he just physically not able to do the things that he was able to do, you know, when there's a 96 mile an hour fastball right down the middle of the plate, which he would normally hit 500 feet.
That's what I more think is happening.
Yeah, I don't think he's shrinking. I don't think he's choking.
But he's not good anymore?
Bryce Harper, I think
he's still
like
a good player. I think you're seeing a diminished version of Bryce Harper because of the wrist. Like, I watch Bryce now, right?
The wrist?
Yeah. Dude, it's hard. It's hard to hit with a degenerative wrist. It just
don't
is.
Do that.
It is. We'll see if he shows up tonight. I just think, look at the... All right. Here's my worry, is that every single time he goes up there now, he is just trying to pull the ball because I think that's the only way he can create power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He used to be able to sit on the ball, go the opposite way, and he could drive it to all fields. I feel like the only way he can drive it now is by pulling it. And that's where I get worried about, like, watching a diminished version of Bryce Harper.
Well, I think... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I just don't say... Even if I were to allow for this wrist thing to be legit... What were we talking about? Is it going to be this way the rest of his career? I mean, either have surgery on it. I don't know. He went all offseason last year without doing anything, right? He let it rest, and it came back. So, like, what is this?
Well, like Embiid, I think the concern is that it is a condition and not an injury. Something that is just going to... But for me...
Well, if his wrist just hurts.
Well, but it's hard to generate, well, for 2 years. I just think...
Well, listen, when this dude hits the ball, I've seen him hit it in the upper deck and everything else.
Yes, but so much of that, like, that is the
No, my point is that when he hits the ball well, his wrist isn't an issue.
I just think it might be harder for him to do that regularly. The optimistic case on it is that he is a good baseball player, he is a smart person, and if there is a way for him to adjust and become a bit of a different hitter, you know, where he's not hitting for power, it's not something he can just switch in the middle of a game, but I think he could become a different kind of productive player. I think the thing that could be happening now is he's just not able to do the things he's trying to do the things that he used to do, and he can't because of his wrist. Even if he's diminished 8%, it makes a big difference, you know, because the difference between a great player and a good player is those small percentages. So I don't know. I do not believe he's choking. That is what I don't believe.
Oh, I never believe that. Yeah. I never buy into that. I also don't believe in giving out excuses either.
Oh, sure.
I just don't. Like, when he hits the ball well, when he's hitting a home run, his wrist isn't bothering him. He's never been the guy. He's hit 40 home runs once. So what are we talking about? He can't hit 30 home runs? His biggest problem is he can't stay on the field. So I'm not saying it's not like he's hitting warning track shots and he just can't get the ball out of the park. He's missing the ball. That's his wrist?
I don't know. I know he's had a lot of injuries, and I'm not an excuse. You know, I'm not the excuse guy here.
Well, I didn't say. I'm just saying I'm not allowing for the wrist thing. Like it always seems like it's convenient to me
that when he's not hitting, it's his wrist.
Yes, the wrist comes up when it's convenient, and that's what I don't like.
He hasn't been.
And by the way, he doesn't use it as an excuse. He hasn't said anything about a wrist.
No, wait till the leak that comes out afterwards, the LeBron-esque leak about what he was dealing with physically. He had a good year this year. Mm-hmm. He never had a streak this year.
What did he miss games for?
What's that?
What did he miss games for?
His wrist.
Well, his elbow and wrist.
Elbow and wrist, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wrist thing was, that was in July. I didn't, whatever. just get the job done, Bryce. Like, he's a big dog. I hate when we make excuses because... We don't use excuses for anybody else in this town. Like, we don't, like, the other players in the town.
Well, we don't accept it from
We don't accept NBA. It from anybody else, any other star in this town.
No.
Jalen doesn't get an excuse for injuries.
No, he doesn't. No. Yeah. All right, coming up next, speaking of Jalen, talk a little bit.
That was for you in there. You don't give Jalen any excuses.
No.
I'm glad you're honest about it.
think one's a great player, one's a pretty good player.
Okay.
Sorry. Well,
one guy shows up in big games.
Well, when they're going to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they can get there. Get a lot. 2 out of 3 years. Just, I mean, you could say he choked in the Packers game and the Rams game.
This year?
No,
last year.
Playoffs.
No, choking is when you cost your team a game.
He took a safety in the end zone.
When you don't choke when you win. You have to lose to choke.
Could have gave it away.
Again, you have to lose to choke. You don't.
Sometimes. They choked against the Bucs, and the Bucs just didn't make a play at the end. And this year, I mean, they had a huge lead in that game. You can still choke and win a game.
He didn't choke.
He was 0 for 8 in the second half.
Okay.
Well.
Well, no, the guy who choked was the guy who threw the interception at the goal line. That's a choke.
That is a choke.
That wasn't a choke.
Huh?
Baker Mayfield didn't choke.
Oh, stop it.
He didn't choke. He threw a pass. The pass got tipped. It got intercepted. He didn't choke.
Well, if that's not a choke, then I definitely can't consider what Jalen did as a choke.
He did throw a bad pick.
I mean, if that's not a choke,
he didn't choke.
A bad interception at the end of the game is not choking.
That was not at the end of the game.
Well, I mean, it was a big game winning drive for him. Right?
They had the ball again after that. It wasn't last time they had the ball.
They could have won the game if he doesn't throw the pick.
Sure, yes.
My point is that if that's not a choke, then there's no way anything Jalen could be considered a choke.
I'm not saying Jalen choked.
That's the point I'm making.
I'm not saying Jalen choked.
That's more of a choke than anything Jalen did.
Well, let's say that ball doesn't get tipped.
But it did.
Okay, let's say it didn't.
But it did.
Okay.
2-1-5.
I think you know that was a bad throw. He should have threw that ball away.
Yeah, I
bad
agree.
Decision.
Yeah, that was a bad decision.
It was a bad decision.
Yeah.
I think Jack's point is if that ball ends up in the receiver's hands, mm-hmm. like, and Jalen went 0 for 8 in the second half, then right. that's a choke by Jalen.
If they still win?
No, if they lose.
That's my point. They have to lose.
Mm. Okay.
That's the only way to me. You choke is if you lose. How don't you choke when you win?
Well, Jalen doesn't have anything to do with Baker Mayfield throwing an interception.
I understand that. But my point is that...
The team didn't choke, but you could say that he did.
Listen, you're defending Baker. He's trying to prove a point that Jalen choked. My point is that how did Jalen choke if they won the game just because he had 8 incomplete passes in the second half when your guy threw an interception that people would consider cost them the game?
Okay. I think when somebody chokes, it means they cracked under pressure. Like, I don't...
That fits your argument.
No, that's but what choke, I would
but,
say.
But no, that's what choke means to you. But I mean choking. Okay. He clearly has a different definition of choking. So everybody's definition of choking is not the same.
Yeah, sure.
And it fits the argument because he wants to say Jalen choked, and that's why he said the incompletions is choking.
Didn't play. If I want to make a case that he choked, I would say he went 0 for 8 in the second half. That would be my case for choking. I didn't say he choked. I would say like he also didn't play that well.
Would you say Bryce choked last year?
No. In the one he had one at bat. He had one big at bat.
And I'm asking you, did he?
No.
Okay.
All right. Brian Baldinger joins us next. We will talk about with this short week, we have the Eagles game on Sunday, but we also have an Eagles
got a quarterback. I gotta defend our quarterback.
Yeah.
You guys wish our own quarterbacks around here.
Well, look. Well, I don't want to talk about his quarterback. My quarterback's a lot better than his quarterback, just to be clear. That goofball for the Chargers. Different levels. Brian Baldinger joins us next. We will talk to Baldy about tomorrow's game against the Giants, about the Eagles offense, and it'll be good to get with Baldy about the Eagles offensive line, and if there are, I guess, reasons for optimism that this could turn around at some point. Baldy joins us next. This is a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.